Hello, everybody. I'm just going to press this here. Look at that. It worked. Cool. I'm used to having a keyboard player behind me all the time, and I noticed that one hit, so we're just going to pretend that this is a keyboard today. But hi, I'm Gene. Yes, I've been part of C3 City Church for 14, almost 15 years, I think it is. I'm married to my wife. Not someone else, to my wife, we've been married since 2002. We met in Dunedin, and then we went to Australia, and then we came back from Australia. And when we were on our way back, we were like, "Well, Dunedin's very cold, and we've lived in Australia. We can't go back to Dunedin, so we ended up here." In Dunedin, we actually went to the same church as Peter for a while way back in the day. So there's a bit of a connection there. Got three kids. Just telling you all this so that you feel like I'm relatable. I'm not just some weird escape. So if it's boring you, please, I apologize. But I've got three kids. The oldest one is Elisha. He's 11. And I've got boy Micah next, who's 9. And then I've got my daughter Brielle, who is 7. And they'll hopefully be nice to the relevant parts of the church that they are currently in. And if they aren't being nice, I apologise in advance. So we've been part of C3 for 14 years or so. We spend most of our time at the one in Otu Muay Thai, and involved with the worship team mainly. Worked for the church for a little bit, but now, right, currently I'm a banker, so working at TSB in town. Okay, so that's probably about enough of me. How about you? Okay, so one of the things that I thought I would do before I actually get into my message, you know, when we're in times of worship, I usually ask God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Well, I'm always asking God what he's saying, but usually I try to think of something to kind of open up. And I felt like he was saying this. First off, when you're in this place, it kind of feels like it's a stadium, even though it's not really a stadium, eh? But a brave man would kind of prophesy that maybe one day what is happening here now, it isn't the end of the road, it's only the start of the road. A brave man would say that maybe one day these voices aren't just bouncing off the walls and making it sound like a stadium. Maybe it will be a stadium. The thing with that is it takes faith. And the interesting thing about faith is that faith is not a light switch. You don't just go over to the wall and flick on faith. It's not doubt versus faith. It's not a light switch. It's not dark with doubt and then you turn on the light and then it's bright enough that there's faith. Faith is really, it's more like a light dimmer than a light switch, where we begin to activate the amount of faith in a room and it starts to change the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? So I go over, the room is dark, and I go across to the wall and I begin to turn the dial. I've turned the dial and slowly the light begins to fill up the space. And things become illuminated as the light gets brighter. Now, the responsibility of how bright that room is comes down to me and how far I turn the dial. Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith is not a switch. It's not like, oh Lord, I don't have any faith today. It doesn't work like that. Faith works like this. I'm going to keep turning up the dial. I'm going to keep pressing in. I'm not going to stop. I want this place to be so bright with the glory and the power of God, the manifest presence of God, that things begin to change in people's lives, that revelation starts dropping out of the sky, that breakthrough starts to happen in people's situations. That's what we've got to get to. It means that the active power of faith doesn't come from the stage, it comes from the congregation. It comes from engagement in the moment. It comes from us turning up our dial. And if there's anything about this place that's going to get to the point where we start to be in a stadium, sound bouncing out and around it. It has to start here and now with active faith in the hearts of the people. That God is calling you to bigger and better. That God is calling you to touch people's lives. God's calling you to influence. But if we just stop and think that it's a light switch and, oh, one day maybe I'll have enough strength to flick the switch, I guarantee you that day will never come. But if we go and say, far out, Lord, I'm just going to start turning up the dial, then maybe, just maybe, there'll be an atmosphere in this place. Every single person who comes in the store, their lives are changed. People are sowed into this community. Walls are busting out. Ceiling is busting out. Because of the brightness and the beauty and the majesty of God in this place. That's what I see. That's what I see. Thank you, Gay. That's the way. That's the response. So you're with me. Well, I'm not going to be here next week. So you really need to be with each other, I guess. But it can start today. You never, ever have to wait. It's not a light switch. Let's begin to turn it up. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Let's begin to pray. Holy Spirit, would you come and have your way in this place? Holy Spirit, come and have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, come and have your way in this place. Right now, I pray for revelation. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for the manifest presence of God in this place right now. I pray, Lord, that you would just break through. I pray for the strongholds, principalities, and powers to be pulled down in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that it be abundantly clear that you are good, that you are God, that you are with us. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you that you are right beside us. You're never far away from us. Father, that you are able, that you're going to give us everything we need to accomplish everything that you have planned for us, Father. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Oy ara ba kira ba sata ra ba kata ra 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 kira ba na kuta ra tira ra ba sata ra 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 kita. Anyone who speaks in tongues, let's begin to speak in tongues now. Ra ba ba ba. Let's turn up the dial, guys. Let's turn up the dial. Oy ara ba sita ba kata ra ba tira ba kuta ra tira ba sata ra ba kata ra tira ba kuta ra ra ba sita ba kata ra ra tira ra. Tuera basatara, kitamana tataria rabacata bacota karati. Riara basat batatirimana tarakaya. Uera basatara bakita bacataratia. Riara basatara bacatara quitikae rabanatira. Father, we excite ourselves in your spirit this morning. Father, we excite ourselves in our spirits this morning that you are good and you are God and you are able. Riara basatara bakina bacotaratira. Tuera batatri, riara bacatera, tira batatera, tira basatera bacara, tarabasitera bacatera. Alicia? I just wanted to say that I just get the word, you know, worship is a pivotal thing, like a real hinge in terms of the atmosphere in the place. And I just feel that to prophesy for you, that you become prophetic with your words. And I know that you're stuck with tracks and it's limiting, but there's I want to call out prophecy out of you, that even though you're in those narrow confines, that God can use you through the way that you stand up on the stage and you command the congregation. I pray prophecy into you. I pray prophecy out of you. I pray that as you get up and worship, Father, I just pray right now that as she gets up and she worships, that people will be drawn in with her. I pray that this place will be known as a place of worship. And I pray for Alicia that she'd help that to come about in Jesus' name. I pray you give her a prophetic edge. Even though it might be a moment, it might just be a word or two, Father, I just pray that she would speak it out. And as she does, there would be that breakthrough. There would be that freedom. There would be the unlocking of the shackles as people walk into the store encumbered with the woes of the week and the woes of the future and all that kind of thing. I pray that she would break those chains, Father, that she would break them, that there would be a freedom in this place because of the worship that she leads. I pray you make her prophetic, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Anyone who's been here for more than 2 or 3 years, stand up.
Yeah. Barry, hello, Barry.
I just want to commend you guys for your service. I don't know how often they say that, but I just want to thank you. I know some of you have been here for a very long time, been serving in this church for a very long time. And I just want to say thank you for what you do for Coast. Thank you for what you've done for Jared and Rachel, for Raki and Karen, and for Will and Nick in this church. Just want to thank you for your service. And I just want to pray a blessing upon you. Lord, I just pray that you will abundantly bless them as the pillars that they are in this community, for the faithfulness that they have shown over many years. Lord, that you will just bless them. Father, that you will just pour out a blessing upon their lives, that they would feel the reward for their faithfulness. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we get a reward for our faithfulness. We just have to keep turning up. But Lord, I would pray today for something that they need, that you would go into their lives and you would answer it in Jesus' mighty name. For the faithfulness that they've shown to your house, to the people who have led this congregation, I thank you for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Look, if we're going to clap, one of my things is, if we're going to clap, we should clap properly. You know what I mean? Just now, come on, let's do this. I know it feels awkward. We're not clapping for... God is good. Hey, God is good. He doesn't deserve half pie. He deserves the whole pie. Okay. Oh, goodness. Okay, so anyway. What have I got to say today? What have I actually got to say today? I'm just going to read for a bit, get into my flow, so... Whatever you have in your hands is sufficient for God to make a miracle. That's the word for today. And it kind of ties in quite nicely with talking about faith, right? Turning to a dollar. But whatever you have in your hands is sufficient for God to make a miracle. Think about it. Moses only had a stick. God called him to part the Red Sea. David only had a sling. He was called to slay Goliath. Paul and Silas only had songs, prayers. And yet when they did that, the prison was shaken. The doors flung open. People's lives were saved. That's all they had. Whatever you have in your hands is sufficient for God to make a miracle. My favorite one, or at least right now, my favorite one is the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, the one whose food Jesus used to feed the 5,000. What a boy. What an amazing boy. Not much is really said about the boy. Not a heck of a lot. Not much at all, to be honest. But we do know, we can infer from the passage of the feeding of the 5,000, we can infer a few things. For a start, we know he was there. We know he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. We know he was alone, or at least the Bible doesn't say that he had anybody around him with him. We know he was wanting to hear Jesus speak. That's why he was there. And we know he was prepared to be with Jesus for some time because he brought the food. So in my head, when I think of the little boy, this boy, I see him waking up. I see him thinking, oh, man. Because he would have heard all of the stories about Jesus. He would have heard all of the rumors about Jesus. He would have heard about this miracle man who was healing people, this miracle man who was saying things that was confounding the religious leaders of the day. He would have heard all of this stuff. And somewhere inside of this boy, even though he was very young, he came to the conclusion that he had to go and be with Jesus. So he wakes up one day and he's like, that's it, I'm going to go. I heard he was going to be up on this mountain over here, so I'm going to get there. So he goes across to his cupboard, gets in, fishes out his school bag. It's a Pokemon school bag. It looks like Pikachu for some reason. It's his favorite school bag. He's loved it for ages. He goes to his mum. He goes, Mum, I've got to see Jesus. I want to be with Jesus today. I've got to go. I heard he's on the mountain. I've heard the amazing stuff. Mum's very busy. She's busy ironing stuff. She's thinking, look, I don't really have time, but okay, well, if you want to go, that's fine. Because back in those days, just like 20, 30 years ago, when I was growing up, parents just sent them out the door. It didn't really matter at all. I'd be miles away from home, and my parents didn't get. Nowadays, we kind of keep a watch over our kids all the time, every single minute of the day, but that wasn't the case back then. So she says, yep, sure. He says, is there any food to eat? He goes, well, actually, we haven't done the shopping for a while. All we've got is 5 little fish and 2 loaves, but you could take that. So he puts it in his school bag and hangs it over his shoulders, and he goes off out the door to meet Jesus. He's walking for a while, slowly the crowd gets more and more dense, more and more people. He goes through, weaves through, and he sees Jesus. And he's got this whole, he can hear Jesus talking, and he's just blown away by this. Time goes on, time goes on, time goes on. Then suddenly he starts to hear, how are we going to feed these people? The disciples had gone to Jesus and they had said, they had said, look, the people have been here for ages. Now they need some feeding. They need to get some food. But it's actually a really long way to get some food. Now, here's the really interesting thing. If you were going to be with Jesus, if you're going to spend any time with Jesus, get some food. Actually plan it out. Have a think about what it's going to cost to be with Jesus. It's going to take time. Relationship is never built just on a casual moment. Relationship is built by investing into someone, taking time with someone. And it's no different with God. It's no different with Jesus. We need to invest our time and energy into him. So for some reason, none of these people bought food. Nobody was expecting it to take longer than it did. Everybody was thinking, I'll just go in, and in a moment, I've got what Jesus is. But you see, Jesus is never just about words. Jesus is about relationship. So we spend time with him. We read the word. We pray. We build into our relationship with Jesus. Anyway, so there's no food. There's no food anywhere. All of the adults, 5,000 men, okay, there's 5,000 men plus women and children, all of them, none of them brought food. None of them thought they needed food. And they had gone such a long way from where there was food that it wasn't going to work if they got sent back, okay? So the boys got his backpack. He's got 5 loaves, 2 small fish. I don't know about you, but in that moment, in my head, I'm thinking, would this be any good? I don't know if there's a knife sharp enough, let alone someone smart enough to be able to cut these 5 loaves so thin as to give everybody a morsel. Like, I don't know, we're getting down to molecules here to try and feed that many people. I've got a backpack with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Is that going to be enough? That's what's in my head. I don't know about you, but that's what's in my head. But this boy thinks, if I can just get those 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus, I think something could happen. It could be a miracle. If I could just get it to Jesus. And so he starts moving towards Jesus. He starts threading his way through the crowd. He can hear the disciples saying, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get this bread from? Well, where are we going to get enough food to feed these 5,000 men plus women and children? And the boy unzips his bag, takes out his meager lunch, and says, well, I've got something here. I've got something. Would you like to try this? And this is the other thing. When it comes to a miracle, when it comes to knowing what you've got in your hand, other people are going to look at it and possibly say it's not enough. We can see that in the passage because they take the boy's food and they go, look, all we've got is these 5 loaves and 2 fish given to us by this little boy. It's not enough to feed all these people. What are we going to do? So even people who have been close to Jesus sometimes get it wrong. Sometimes they look at what you have in your hand, and even though you know God can do a miracle with it, they think maybe not. That's where faith comes in, right? Just got to get it to Jesus. If I can get my loaves and my fish to Jesus, he can do something powerful with it. If I can just get past this crowd, if I can get past these people, this doubt and all that kind of thing, if I can just turn the dial up, if I can make it bright enough, if I can get it to Jesus, maybe there'll be a miracle. And man, I'll tell you what, I'll take a maybe over a no any day of the week. Just a quick aside, you know, a long time ago, talking about my boys, our oldest boy, he kind of had trouble coming to the party, for want of a better word. We tried and we couldn't. Not for want of trying. We couldn't have our first son, Elisha. And it got to the point where things were pretty dire, pretty bad. I just feel like I need to labor this point. So just bear with me, and I'll get back on track and I'll close it out. So my boy, he just wasn't coming along. And then one day at church, we had a guest speaker. His name was Don McDonnell. I don't know, he's from Auckland. He's from Inspire Church up in Auckland. You might know. And he's going around praying for people. Classic, I've told the story a few times, so I apologize if you heard it before. We're at church. And with me and my wife are sitting down on the row, we're just sitting there, and he says, look, there's a couple who are trying to get pregnant. Would you stand up? And at that time, I was a bit doubtful, to be honest. And I just sat there. I just sat there in the chair next to my wife. And later I found out that if I'd stood up, my wife would have stood up too. But she wasn't going to go without me. So we're sitting like this in the chair. And I'm getting convicted. I'm thinking, yeah, I've got to stand up. Okay, I'm going to stand up. And just as I'm standing up, he says, and there's also a couple who are going through marriage troubles. And I sat back down. I just sat straight back down, and I stayed there. But then he asked about it again, right? And then we stood up. And then he prayed for Therese. And people came up after Therese was being prayed for. They saw hot stripes down her back. Multiple people who haven't connected with each other and talked about it. That's not a big deal, right? Like, you get prayed for things all the time. People pray for you. But anyway, Don McDonnell is just carrying on with his message, and then he turns around and he points at my wife and he says, 30 days. You're going to be pregnant in 30 days. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure, right? Just as a man, that's a lot of pressure. And 2 weeks into the 30 days, my wife takes a pregnancy test. It's negative. About a week or so later, negative. A few days later, my wife tries a test. Positive. Positive. 3 days out. The 29th day, pregnant. The 29th day was negative. Even I don't know the story properly. On the day, pregnant. That's the point, okay? Like, very close to the timeline, pregnant. One of the people from our church took my wife out for a coffee, not knowing that my wife was pregnant. And she said, look, I've had people pray for me before. I just don't want you to get your hopes up so that when it doesn't happen, you don't get too disappointed. Of course, Teresa could turn to her and say, I'll tell you what, actually, I'm pregnant. You know, the words can come at you from anywhere. We've got to be realistic about this. The same Peter who said that you're the Son of God was the same Peter who Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. And this is one of the closest people that Jesus had to him. So it wasn't Peter. Know that. It wasn't Peter. But the slings and the arrows can come from everywhere. And in those moments, it's better to say maybe than not at all. In those moments, it's better to just hang on to the faith that you have, keep turning the dial up. Because if you don't do anything, you're going to get nothing. But maybe if you do something, there'll be a miracle. Maybe you don't have much in your hands. Maybe you don't have enough in your hands. Maybe you don't have enough cash. Maybe you don't have enough people. Maybe you don't have enough food. Maybe you don't have enough this. There's so many reasons why you can't do it. There's so many reasons just to sit down and do nothing. But if you do nothing, you're going to get nothing. So you might as well get up and do something. Because if you give the little that you have into the hands of Jesus, you might have a miracle. And a miracle that might is better than nothing at all. So the boy gives his lunch to the disciples, and the disciples take it up to Jesus and almost with disdain say, well, all we've got are these 5 loaves and 2 small fish. But the boys, I just got to get the stuff to Jesus. I know it's not enough, but if I get it to Jesus, then maybe, just maybe, something can happen with it. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Man, if I told you some of the things that are going on in my life right now, you would go, Gene, you better hope there's a miracle. I'll tell you what, I'd much rather hope in Jesus. There's things that I can't do, but Jesus can. If I take the little that I have, give it to him, oh, man. Anyway, we all know how the story goes. Jesus takes the food. The coolest thing about what Jesus does is he takes the offering of the little boy. He takes the meager offering that's supposed to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. He takes this little offering, 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. He takes it and he gives thanks. He gives thanks. Think about that for a minute. No one had given thanks. The disciples took the food. They didn't give thanks. They saw it as a burden. They saw it as a tease. They saw it as a glimpse of something that could happen. Jesus took it. Jesus took it. It says he took it and he gave thanks. Is that a revelation for us? Whatever you have in your hand today, get thankful for it. Whatever you have in your hand is sufficient in Jesus, in God, for a miracle. So you might as well get thankful for it. Man, look, God, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for my bank account. I'm thankful for my job situation. I'm thankful for the way my kids are at school. I'm thankful for the person on my for the relationship that I'm in. I'm thankful for this awesome church that I have. Get thankful. Get thankful. So Jesus gives thanks. We're going to close this out. Jesus gives thanks, and sure enough, it begins to multiply. Begins to multiply. Begins to grow. Baskets. The Bible says 7 baskets of bread is taken up after. Now, I have no idea. There is no science that can explain that. That is a supernatural move of God. That is outside the realms of time and space. The amount of manipulation that went on there to make that happen boggles the mind. It's a purely supernatural event. Now, what is so good about that? You know, when you say, Lord, I don't have much, but this is yours. You do with it what I can't do with it. As soon as we do that, look, three important things. When we do that, we no longer compare ourselves to others. As soon as you realize that God can do with whatever's in your hand, you don't need what's in your brother's hand. You don't need what's in your sister's hand. You can be free from it. God can do whatever he needs to do with what I have. So we don't compare ourselves to others. We no longer feel responsible for the outcome. Our responsibility to God for the miracle is just to give it to him. No more worry. No more stress. No more fight. No more striving. He's going to give us responsibilities. I tell you, when Moses parted the Red Sea, he still had to stand there and lift up his staff. Imagine if God didn't come through, he'd look like an egg. Ha! Nothing. Ha! Okay, let's go back. You're still going to be asked to do stuff, but to know that it's on God means you no longer have to feel responsible for the outcome. You just have to do what he says. And the best part, God gets the glory. God gets the glory. So when I have a miracle in my life because of something small that I had in my hand, he took it and he multiplied it. The people around me are going to see that God is good. The people around me are going to see that God is powerful. The people around me are going to be drawn to that, to the light that shines so brightly, so clearly that God is good and he's able. God gets the glory. It wasn't me. It wasn't me that suddenly magically made my son come along. That was God. That was God alone. I would have done it 2 years earlier if I could. I couldn't. He's there because of God and God's goodness. You hear me? Yeah? Look, I feel like I'm really prophesying today to the church. I know you guys have got stuff going on in your lives, and I'd love for you to take this word and apply it to your life, but I really feel like I'm prophesying this to City Church Coast. That's what I feel like I'm saying. Is, you know, sometimes secondhand chairs, secondhand gear. Nah. We don't think like that here. We got a first-hand God. We got a God who can bust these walls down. We got a God who can do great and powerful things. So I don't care what anybody says. When I walk in here, I hold my head up high. I'm proud of this place. I'm proud of the people who are around me. And man, we're going to accomplish great things together. We're going to do this. We're going to turn the dial up. We've got faith. We're going to make this happen. And you don't know how bright this light is going to shine when God is really on us, really shining. You hear what I'm saying? That's the prophecy for this place today. Man, oh, exciting stuff. Close your eyes. I'm going to pray. What time do we finish at 8:30? No, we don't. Ish. Okay. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Because we're about to just wind it up here. Father, we thank you that whatever we have is sufficient in you for a miracle. Father, we thank you that we can walk around with confidence. We can walk around with our heads held up. We have no fear, not because of anything that we can do in ourselves, but because of who is on our side. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are powerful, that you can open doors, that you can do things, Father. So we invite you into this, our lives, our church, our space. And Lord, we offer up whatever it is that we have for the cause that you have put into our minds and our hearts that we see in front of us. We thank you, Lord, like Moses, if we have a staff, it's sufficient. We thank you, Lord, that like David, if we have a sling, it's sufficient. We thank you, Lord, like Paul and Silas, that if it's just our voices that we have, it's sufficient. We thank you, Lord, that whatever we have is sufficient for a miracle in you. We put our trust in you this morning, that wherever we're heading in life, from here today and forward, Father, into the week and into the weeks to come, we thank you, Lord, that we are not going alone, that you can bless us, that we can see increase in our lives and in our church. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.